This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Audio Network.
Have some thank yous to dole out here on the show. Thanks to our guest today, Alex Christensen, a.k.a. Noops. Thanks to Grant Wall. Thanks to Adrian Dater. Thanks to our crew, Tyler, Bill, and Rick, for helping to put the show together today. Eli's on vacation, so Eli gets no credit.
is he in Vegas, or where is it? Where do they go?
I think he's in Chicago.
He's in Chicago? Okay. I thought he went to Vegas. Didn't he go there?
I don't know.
I think he might have, because remember, he was like, well, I'm going to meet people. And we were like, who? Like, your significant other? Are you dating somebody, or like family? And he was like, no.
He's got a new girlfriend. It's like, I'm sure that's what he's
doing. I know that. Well, okay.
I don't know why. Anyway, like,
wherever he is, I hope he's having a good time. So.
Yeah, I don't. I hope it sucks.
Okay.
All right.
I don't know where I got the Vegas thing from. I thought he was going to Vegas.
I don't know. This is stupid conversation. You know what we call this? A waste of time.
Right. Wastertainment, right?
Wastertainment here on You Better You Bet. So Ken and I will be back again tomorrow, and we are here through the week, except on Friday when I am off. So no Nick Costos on Friday.
Very sad. You'll be missed.
I'm sure I will. We missed you on Friday.
That was only about, 15 baseball and 15 NBA games every Friday now for the next 5 weeks. You know what we call that? A really packed power hour.
You know, we call that Nick's crunching the numbers like he's back in calculus class.
Right. Yeah. I mean, just when you throw that's what you forget about. Yeah, I mean, we haven't done the show during full baseball season. Like Friday night, I mean, Cubs play 220 sometimes if they're at home on Fridays. Otherwise, every team in that night window, a little different than every other day. It's a lot of prep.
Okay. It looks like, Ken, and I know that like I've said this a bunch already as we lead up towards the NFL draft, which is 2 weeks from Thursday. So we're going to end up doing we have to line up a bunch of content for this, obviously, in the next couple of weeks, which is great. I'm excited for that. I've said it a bunch, and I'm going to continue to say it. I can't believe that Mac Jones is going to be the third overall pick of the draft to the San Francisco 49ers. But every single person that I respect, and I think that when I say that, it actually actually holds a lot of water, because I worked in the NFL media for a long time. I know who's good and who's not good, who's actually plugged in and who's making stuff up. The people that actually know and actually talk to people are all saying that San Francisco's taking Mac Jones with the third overall pick. They're all saying it. He's minus 200 right now to be the third overall pick. I'm considering betting it. I'm considering, because I don't know
if those odds are. You want to lay minus 200 right now, really?
Well, I just don't know that the odds are ever going to get better on it. I'm not saying I'm going to do it. I just I don't know that it's going to get better than that at this point.
Well, and I know with stories like this, you never know when the next piece of good reporting is going to come out too. That's the other interesting thing about the draft props. A piece of good reporting could just be a source that a reporter has that gives him information. See, that could occur literally 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It doesn't have to be tied to an event, like a pro day or a workout or something like that. Combine and normal draft season, all that kind of stuff. So that's kind of interesting. Do you get it now? Cause you don't know if it's going to move, cause we can't predict when this stuff moves. NBA futures, when they tend to move after games are over, and then the next day they come up again after huge games, after injuries occur, which all occur during the same game window. This one's tougher. I will say the only piece of information I saw today is that Fields and Lance are going to hold one more workout, and Shanahan and Lynch basically made it a point, probably through a source, to be we're going to be at both of those. Now that could, as people are being be like, well, that's misinformation. They want you to think they're not locked into Mac Jones, but they're actually locked into Mac Jones. I have no idea. Like, reading tea leaves on this is impossible to me, and I'm terrible at it anyway. But just thought that that's worth noting as well, that like those, they're going to get one more look at those other two guys as well before deciding. Maybe they've already made the decision, but before literally locking in Mac Jones.
So looking right now at the odds for players to go in the top five. So like Trevor Lawrence is not listed. Zach Wilson is not listed.
Right. It'd be minus a million, minus infinity. Yes. Right. Exactly.
So Mac Jones is minus 400 to go in the top five. Like I say this out loud and like, I can't even believe that this is true. That like, that's actually a thing, but it is. Justin Fields is minus 200. Then we have Kyle Pitts minus 170, Lance minus 110, Sewell plus 108, Chase plus 110. Rashawn Slater, who like is getting pub right now, is like maybe going ahead of Sewell as the first offensive lineman, plus 300. Micah Parsons plus 700. I want to talk about Justin Fields for a second here at minus 200. So let's just assume, right, that the reporting is accurate for the first three picks. And right. Like, based on everything you read and you hear, we know Lawrence is a fait accompli. It seems like Zach Wilson to the Jets at two is as close to a fait accompli as you could possibly get. And if Mac Jones, let's just assume, right, that Mac Jones goes to San Francisco at three, then I think there's a realistic chance that Justin Fields drops out of the top five. Because, you know, we had Pete Prisco, you were off on Friday. Pete Prisco came on the show with us on Friday, and he said that, you know, Arthur Smith, what he's hearing is Arthur Smith, the new head coach of the Falcons, believes that Matt Ryan's got two good years left, at least two years left.
That's so good. Very good piece of information. That's great. Right? Yeah.
So if that's true, and like, and you've got a team that's not like extremely far off from being competitive, at least like need some pieces on defense, obviously can need another offensive piece. Should have taken CeeDee Lamb in the draft last year. But anyway, that I think it's likely that the Falcons maybe take Pitts, or at the very least don't take a quarterback. Then we have Cincinnati, who we know is not going to take a quarterback at five. Now, maybe one of these teams trades down, right? And a team goes up to get Justin Fields.
That's what I was going to say. Like, how like, Atlanta's phone is going to be ringing. Yeah.
But like, who are you blocking though? Like, that's my thing, right? Who are you blocking for potential? Like, Miami is at six.
Right.
They got Tua. Carolina just traded for Sam Darnold.
Right. Carolina could draft a guy, but it would be weird if they did. Yeah.
Okay. I think it would be like absolutely ridiculous if they did.
Yeah. Okay. And then who's eight?
Carolina's eight. I forget who's seven, which is like escaping me at the moment.
Sorry, we can look it up in a second. I think it would be very, I view feel like I'm not a prospect analyst the way that all the people you're going to see on television are. I would just find it unlikely that someone with the pedigree of Fields and the success that he had. I mean, he's like five-star, like number one rated
Lions, by the way. Lions are seven. Okay. So like, I mean, I don't think they would draft a quarterback now.
Goff contract is, you know, extensive.
And like, they've got to like, and like drafting a quarterback now makes no sense. Like, you want to build for a couple of years, then take a quarterback, and then you get the entire rookie deal as opposed to him sitting behind Goff.
Yeah, so totally agree.
I think that just like, I think Fields is probably not going to go in the top five. If like the first three picks go like we think they will, who are you jumping up to block? That's my whole thing.
Well, so I guess you don't know, but you can, I don't know. My thought in these things is always like, some team is stupid and some team is smart, and the smart team is going to trick the stupid team into thinking there's a competition. Like, oh, we have calls from all these other teams. Like, if you want Fields, you got to come get them. Otherwise, the other teams are going to come up.
What do you think about that, though? Fields minus 200 to go in the top five. If the information that we have is true, that the top three is going to be Lawrence, Wilson, and Mac Jones, Atlanta at four, probably unlikely to take a quarterback, maybe trade down. Cincinnati definitely not taking a quarterback. I don't know. Minus 200.
And probably like unlikely to move backwards that much too, right? I mean, unless they really don't like the linemen, but they seem like two really good linemen prospects.
Yeah, that right. They would just. I think they're likely to sit at five.
Right. So then it feels like Cincinnati's making their pick. That's what it feels like.
So then it's like, what do you think Atlanta's going to do?
Right. I mean, I don't know the answer to that. The reporting by Pete was that's interesting. But they're like, because we thought there was some uncertainty about whether Matt Ryan was like a guy that you draft a guy right now to be behind because
it's the coach's call, right? So I mean, Arthur Smith could have gone in there and be like, Matt Ryan sucks. We want a quarterback. And as a new head coach, you probably have the authority to kind of, with a new GM too, you kind of have the authority to make a decision like that. But if he really likes Matt Ryan, then like, I don't know. I feel like it probably doesn't make a lot of sense to draft a quarterback with that pick.
Right. And I agree with you in terms of like all the players that follow, or all the teams rather that follow none of the media court. Like, that's all very intuitive when you look at who they signed or who they traded for or who they have on the roster. But that also, I feel like in the past, I'd have to look up like previous instances of you know, like when teams traded up to get guys, even if it was number four or number five or whatever, top 10 teams that traded into the top 10 to draft a quarterback, like, were they always blocking somebody, or was it just the allure of, I need to get somebody because otherwise another team is going to trade up? And Field strikes me as the type of prospect where, like, some owner is going to be like, we're getting this guy. Like, we need to go get this guy. Like, literally, like, number one ranked five-star prospect high school, like, ends up transferring to Ohio State, has an incredible amount of success. Like, these types of players, like, don't drop ever. Like, ever. I mean, there's, like, no evidence of this ever happening, basically. And if they do drop, somebody comes up to get them. I mean, like, Josh Rosen would be a great example of that, I guess. Where it's like, I mean, he didn't have an Aaron Rodgers plummet all the way down, basically. Players like that trick someone into coming up to take them. Just historically, seems like that's always the case. I think the interesting thing for you with the no is, like, who's going to open a market where you can bet both sides of this bet, right? Who's going to open Justin Fields' either draft position over under, and you could bet the over on it for him to go later. Like, let's say it's Justin Fields' draft position over under 3.5. And it's, I don't know, like, what is he? Mac Jones is a heavy favorite to go third, right? So, like, what is Fields to go third right now in the same market that we're looking at? I'm like cycling through 5,000 menus right now. I like just had it up. Where is it? Like, if he is, you know, whatever, even or plus, like plus 150. Yeah, okay, so he's 175 to go to the Niners, 300 to go to the Falcons. So, like, yeah, plus 175 to go third. So, okay, so if it's 3.5, like, whatever, something like plus 150 on under, minus 150 on over, and you would bet it, like, over 3.5 at that price?
Absolutely.
Right, exactly. Something, but let's, I would like for those markets to be
I would max that.
Okay. I mean, it's probably, I mean, maybe it's more, maybe it's minus 175 plus 175, something like that. Maybe it's more, because when you can't put the no on these, the prices get all kind of banged around and nothing ends up looking correct. Because if you opened a no, it'd get bet immediately and you would have, like, an efficient market on this exact thing. So that'll be an interesting thing to follow with the draft position stuff. With a guy like Fields, I think you make a good case where, like, you look at the teams after, if you believe the Niners reporting, then you at least eliminate all kinds of options for where he could go. I just think it's that kind of give and take of, does somebody get tricked or is somebody just in love with them because of, like, that pedigree? It's just, you just don't get that very often.
At what point do you think you are going to get super into the NFL draft and betting on it?
It's usually about a week to 10 days before is usually when
it's like
really
we're through the Masters now. Like, yep. We're through the Masters now. So it's like, it's the next big thing on the calendar.
It'll be soon. Like, I need more information, need more stuff, need to get closer, but like a week to 10 days away, like, I'll start kind of doing some work on it. And usually there's a lot of really fun bets to be had.
I think I'm going to spend some time tomorrow in the morning going sure. over a lot of the stuff. I think I'm going to read.
Sometimes you can pick up stuff before it moves. Like, there might be some crazy stuff now. I'm sure there was some crazy stuff a week ago with Mac Jones. So, you know, if you can be the early bird, often does benefit in situations like this.
All right. So there you have it. That's a Monday edition of You Better You Bet. Hit a lot of different sports, gave a lot of bets out, had a lot of laughs in the process. Again, thanks to our crew. Thanks to Ken. We're back tomorrow. Cause why wouldn't we be at 4 PM Eastern? A lot of bets for tonight. Thanks, by the way, to the You Betters for the winning yes bet.
Yes,
the
Padres, we're already 1-0 tonight.
Pirates. Yeah. So until tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern, I'm Nick Costos wishing everybody minimal sweats, winning bets, and the absolute very best of luck.